Isaiah chapter number 6. You and I have been discovering how God can, when He gets to moving and gets to operating, that oftentimes God really begins to shake things up. And we not only went down to into the valley with Ezekiel and saw God shaking up some dead bones, but we also went into a prayer meeting with the early church in Acts 4, and we saw God shake up the place where they were praying, fill them up with the power of the Holy Spirit, and gave them boldness to speak the Word of God. And we went down into a prison with Paul and Silas and found out that even down in a prison that God can shake things up. As they were praying and singing praises to God about midnight, God shook that place, and the jailer got saved, his family got saved, and what a move of God that started a New Testament church in the city of Philippi. And so we're down at the temple now with this man named Isaiah. We've been there for a while. We've been there longer than Isaiah was. But nevertheless, God shook that place up. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible tells us that when God got to moving in that place where Isaiah was at, that the doorpost of the temple began to be moved. They began to tremble or shake. And those are some of the main pillars of the building. So no doubt the entire building was beginning to move and beginning to shake as a result of the experience that this man Isaiah had with God down there in the temple. But we've been discovering in these messages that God not only shook up the temple, the building, but God shook up the man. That is Isaiah. Isaiah, the man of God that God used to speak the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, for over 50 years. His whole life devoted to speaking God's truth. And during a difficult time, as we'll discover in the verses we're looking at, and during a difficult and dark period of time, this man named Isaiah was used of God as a prophet of God. And the reason why that he kept on going and never gave up and never stopped, never backed up, is the reason why is because of this experience that he had right here in Isaiah chapter number 6. An experience with God that provided direction for his life for the rest of his life. An experience with God that shook him to the very core of who he is and what the purpose and plan of God was for his life. You and I have been trying to look at this passage in Isaiah 6, at this encounter that he had with God. And that is that we talked about the problems that Isaiah faced. And that is his experience at the temple that Isaiah encountered began with the problem that he faced. The problem was, verse number 1, is that King Uzziah just had died. And when King Uzziah died, this godly king would reign for several decades. The period of Judah began in a period of spiritual decline. And they had ungodly leadership, bad leadership that led them into a period of decline. And Isaiah saw the decline that was coming. He saw the problems that were on their way. And God was raising up another people group, and that is the Babylonians, raising up another leader, that is King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king and a wicked people group, idol worshipers. Nevertheless, God was raising them up, and they were growing in strength militarily and economically. And before long, the Babylonians that God raised up soon became strong enough to begin to invade their neighbors, and eventually that included Judah, and they were destroyed. Their capital city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed by this foreign power, and God raised them up to bring judgment upon Judah because of her idolatry. Isaiah could see it coming years before it happened, and ladies and gentlemen, when he saw all of this beginning to take place, it was like a warning sign going off. He was facing the problems that were developing, and he went down to the house of God, to the temple, to seek God's face. That is, you and I talked about the praying that he did. Even though it doesn't explicitly state here that he went down there to pray, we know by other passages that's what he was there for. He was there to seek after God. He believed the promise that God gave to Solomon when he dedicated the temple. And that is that if there's ever a time God said that I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or I send the pestilence or the locust to consume your crops. That is, if the nation finds itself in trouble, in an economic downturn, if that ever happens, you come to this house. That is this temple that you're dedicating, Solomon. And if you will, if you'll humble yourself, if my people, that is the ones that I've called by my name, if they'll come here and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, God said, I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And there's no doubt in my mind that Isaiah had that promise ringing in his ears as he headed down there to the temple, as he was facing these difficult problems that were coming and went down there to pray. I talked to you about the praying that he did. And we discovered it was down there at the temple while he was praying that there was the presence that he encountered. I'm talking about the presence of God. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 1, that all of a sudden God opened his eyes in a vision and he got to see God down there at the temple. God gave him a vision. He had a vision of the glory of God, and that is that the whole earth is full of his glory. The smoke that filled the temple in verse 4 is not just smoke from a fire out of control. It's God showing up in his glory. He got a vision of the glory of God. We discovered he had a vision of the reign of God, that God is sitting upon a throne, that he is the King, the Lord of hosts. We discover that it was a vision of the exaltation of God, and that is that God is high and lifted up. And I preached to you about that. That is the position that God holds, that he really is God, and the praise that he deserves. It's a vision of the holiness of God. The Bible says that there are these heavenly creatures, the seraphim, and they're crying out and flying with two wings, covering their face and feet with the other, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And you and I talked about the holiness of God this past Lord's Day. And so there is the presence that Isaiah encountered, the presence of God. Now listen, when you get in the presence of God like that, all of a sudden you become deeply aware of your own sinfulness. And this man did. The Bible tells us, beginning of verse number 5, that all he could do was cry out and said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Ladies and gentlemen, he became conscious of his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of his own people. And when he became convicted of his sin and he confessed it to God, all of a sudden one of these seraphim come with a coal off of the altar and touches his lips and cleanses or purges him and cleans him up. I talked to you this past Lord's Day about the purging that Isaiah experienced. God cleaned him up. Now the reason why God cleaned him up is because God is getting ready to use him. The reason why that God cleaned up those lips is because God's going to use those lips to speak the word of God. And that is to be his prophet for the next decades, the prophet of God, Isaiah. And listen, this experience that Isaiah had with God, where God cleaned him up so that he could use him, is an experience that we desperately need today. This same kind of experience among God's people, those who know the Lord, and that is an encounter with God in which we also, convicted of our own sinfulness and our own inadequacy, get honest with God and do what the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, begin to confess our sins. And if we will, the Bible says that God is faithful and just not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if there's one thing that the people of God need, we need that kind of cleansing. We need God to clean us up so that God will be able to use us for his glory. Listen, you and I need the power of God upon our lives. We need the power of God upon our churches. Listen, the one thing that our community needs more than anything else, ladies and gentlemen, that our state, that our nation needs more than anything else, are New Testament churches that have the power of God upon them. Believers who know something about the power of God, filling their lives, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we desperately need more than we need anything else. We need the power of God. But listen, God will not put his power on a filthy people. That is, God cleans them up. And that happens in this kind of an encounter with God, where folks realize that we've got problems and we better seek God. God's the only answer. And when you get to seeking him and get in his presence and God gets to moving, all of a sudden you became conscious or convicted of your own sinfulness. And convicted, all we can do is just start crying out and confessing to him. And as we cry out and confess to him, God cleans us up from the inside out so that he can fill us up and use us for his glory. There is the purging that Isaiah experienced. I want you to notice with me now, beginning in verse number 8, the purpose that Isaiah received. And that is that after God got to cleaning this man up, after he cleansed his lips, he purged his lips, he must have unstopped his ears as well. Because all of a sudden now, Isaiah is beginning to hear things that he's never heard before. I want you to notice that Isaiah heard the call of God. All of a sudden now, he is hearing the call of God. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and I heard. That is, he's beginning to hear. What's he hearing? The voice of the Lord. That is, he had a vision of God that he saw, but now there's the voice that he's beginning to hear. And that is, God has unstopped his ears. Some of you might be a little bit hard hearing by now. And that is, maybe you just don't hear as good as you used to. And so every once in a while, maybe you have to get your ears checked out. And maybe you had to get one of the little devices to put in your ear so that you could hear just a little bit better. And so that you can hear those around you. Well, I tell you that this man of God named Isaiah, he needed to get his ears cleaned out. He needed to get his ears tuned in. Listen, this man could hear everything else, no doubt. If somebody would have walked up to him and started speaking to him, he might have been able to hear their voice. And if he had his television on, he might be able to hear the television. When his cell phone rang, he'd probably be able to hear his cell phone. But ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear your cell phone, and you can hear your television, and you can hear your computer, and you can hear the people that come up and speak to you, but you can't hear from God, then you need to have your ears cleaned out. You see, the one thing that we need to hear more than anything else is what God is saying. And listen, God is speaking. He speaks through His Word, and He speaks by His Spirit. He speaks to us in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Word of God. And yet many times, you and I, we're just not hearing what it is that God is saying. Some of you are a little bit like I am every once in a while. And that is, if my wife is talking to me, or somebody else might be talking to me, and I can hear that they're talking, but I'm not listening to what they're saying. I've got my mind on something else. And that is that my mind gets a little bit distracted. And I'm thinking about something else. And listen, you all are much better at this than I am. But if I have my mind on one thing, it's hard for me to get it on another thing. That is, it's just kind of a one-track mind. And I'm thinking about one thing and somebody else is talking about something else. And I just don't quite hear it. But this man, Isaiah, may have been a little bit like me, except in a spiritual kind of way. And that is, when you and I get our mind on earthly things, when we get our focus on menial things, that is, the trivial things of this life, many times while God is speaking, we're just not listening to what God is saying. We're just not hearing what it is that we know that God is speaking, but we're just not hearing very clearly what it is that He's saying. That is, sometimes we walk away from church like maybe I hear my wife speaking, but I'm not sure what she's saying, what she said. It's embarrassing when you got to ask somebody, what did you say, when they just got done saying it? Sometimes I can get in trouble by doing that. I mean, you might be the same way. And that is, I've had folks come up to me and say, I just don't know what God is saying to me. And sometimes I'm thinking in my mind, wasn't you at church Sunday? I mean, God was speaking. God was working. Didn't you hear? Weren't you listening? Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, God is speaking. This man of God, he began to hear the call of God upon his life. And this is a call, listen, this call of God upon the life of this man named Isaiah is a call of God that's going to be for the rest of his life. It's not just a call that is temporary in nature. This is a call that's going to impact the rest of his life. It's the call of God to serve him in a certain way for the rest of his life. Now listen, God still calls like that. And that is, when you read through the Bible and you start reading about these great men of God that God used, they were called by God. When you read about Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, you're introduced to this man named Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 12 that God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, that is, from his hometown area, and called him to a land that he would show it to him when he got there. And you remember what Abraham did? The Bible says he left Ur, he went to Haran, and he was there for a while. And then the Bible says that he sojourned into the land of Canaan, and God showed him the land that he was going to give to his descendants as an inheritance, and made him wonderful promises that go way beyond the land and go all the way to the coming of the Messiah. And there's the promise of the seed that was to come and the blessings that would be for all nations. And the blessing that I'm talking about, according to the book of Galatians, is the blessing of being right with God, being justified before God, just like Abraham was when he believed God. and was counted to him for righteousness. Listen, Abraham heard the call of God. God called him to leave home and to go to a land that he would show him. It was a call, ladies and gentlemen, to a change of life for the rest of his life. He would never go back. It was a lifelong call that God gave to him. One of the greatest leaders to ever walk this planet was a man by the name of Moses. You remember that God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. God was working in his life from the very time that he was a little baby. God had a plan for his life from his mother's womb, saved him from the old wicked Pharaoh that was trying to destroy all the little Israelite babies. God saved him in that little basket that his mother put him there in the Nile River. And then God orchestrated it so that Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him in Pharaoh's household. God is sovereignly at work, and he's raising up a leader for the Israelites. Now listen, God was raising him up and growing him up. It took him 80 years to get to the point that God could use him like he wanted to. I said 80 years. Now, some of you are about 80 years old. If you're not, you're closer to 80 than you are away from it. With the exception of just a few in this room, it's true of all of us. You say, Pastor, I'm just getting to the point I can't do much anymore. Listen to me now. God called a man named Moses at the age of 80. God spoke to him. You remember the story, and I won't go back and read it for the sake of time, but in the book of Exodus in chapter number 3, the Bible says that Moses, an 80-year-old man, is taking care of sheep on the backside of a desert when all of a sudden he sees a burning bush. Not unusual, but what's unusual is it's not burning up. It just keeps on burning, and he goes over to see what it is. And that is, what is the deal with this bush? And when he gets there, all of a sudden, God calls out to him out of the burning bush and said, Moses, you better take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And Moses kicks his shoes off and he approaches God. And God speaks to him, ladies and gentlemen, and calls him to deliver the Israelites. Go down into Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And listen, it began a conversation between him and God that resulted in this man Moses, along with his brother, going down into Egypt and demanding that Pharaoh let the Israelites leave Egypt. And that is, God called him. Moses didn't just volunteer. Listen, God called Moses just like he called Abraham. And I tell you, he's calling Isaiah. Do you know he also called the great prophet Jeremiah? I'll read it to you in Jeremiah chapter number 1, just a few verses for you. This man was called of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1 and verse number 4, the word of the Lord came unto me saying to Jeremiah, here's what God said. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Jeremiah, I had my hand on you and a purpose for you from the time that you were conceived in your mama's womb. Before you ever born, I had a plan and a purpose for your life to be my prophet. That is, a prophet to the nations. And of course, we know that Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. He said, listen, he reminds me of Moses. I'm not a good talker and I'm way too young. Now, Moses was an 80-year-old man, and this apparently is a young man. You see, it doesn't matter about the age, whether you're a young man or an old man. When God calls you, ladies and gentlemen, that's revealing God's purpose. And he said, I can't be your prophet. I'm not a good speaker. I'm just a child. It reminds me of a little 13-year-old boy that got saved some years ago. And just a couple of years later, when he was 15 years old, God called him to preach. Now, I know him very well, and I want to tell you that when God got to working in his heart and got to speaking to him about preaching, listen, God spoke to him in a way that let him know that was his purpose for his life. But he had the same view, and that is, I'm just a kid, and I don't want to get up in front of anybody and say anything. And like Jeremiah, he was scared to death. So I'm just a child. But the Lord said unto him, here's what God said in verse 7, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak, and be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and just like this man Isaiah says, he touched his mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jeremiah, stop saying you're too young. Stop it. I'm going to send you to the nations and I expect you to go. And he touched his mouth and said, I put my words in your mouth, and don't be afraid of anyone. You say what it is that I've told you to say and do it. And Jeremiah did, ladies and gentlemen. He spoke the word of God. It cost him a great price. He was persecuted and cruelly treated. But I tell you, he never stopped. He never quit. He never gave up. And the reason why is because he had the call of God on his life. When God calls a man like he did Moses, you don't quit. When God calls a man like he did Abraham, you may have some problems along the way, but you keep on treading the land that God gave you. Listen, when God calls a man like Isaiah, he doesn't back up. He's got the call of God on his life. I remember the man named Jonah, don't you? In the book of Jonah, God called him. And Jonah decided, ladies and gentlemen, that he was just going to run from the call of God. And God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to that great city. And if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. And the Bible tells us that Jonah decided to go the other way. He's running from the call of God. He went down to Tarshish, went down to Joppa, got on a ship, headed to Tarshish the opposite way, running from the call of God. And I tell you, when he ran from the call of God, it wasn't long till he ran right into a storm. A storm, ladies and gentlemen, that threatened the entire boat. And before long, this man named Jonah got tossed overboard at his own request. He was ready to die. He was ready to give up his life. He knew that when he got thrown into that water, his life would be over. But he didn't know much about God, did he? And the reason why is because the one who's the master of the sea had a great fish ready to swallow him up and save his life. And down there in the belly of the fish, he had to get right with God. And that is, he came to the conclusion that salvation is of the Lord. And that means that if God wants to save the Ninevites, God can save the Ninevites. In other words, he didn't have a choice. And that is, Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. He wanted them to be destroyed. That's why he was running from the call of God. But I tell you that God strained him out in the belly of the fish. And when they spit him out, he went to Nineveh, preached, and they repented. And God saved that city. And great revival came, spiritual awakening to the city of Nineveh. What I'm trying to get you to see is God is still calling. He's still calling. I remember reading about these men in their boat fishing along the Sea of Galilee one day when Jesus came along and he told them, he said, I want you to follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says that James and John, they left their boat and left their father in the boat and began to follow Jesus. The Bible tells us that Peter and Andrew did the same. They abandoned their boats and their nets and they began to follow him. I'm trying to get you to see that God called. He called the apostles. The apostle Paul describes his experience with God as also being a calling. And there's a God called him. From the moment of his conversion on the Damascus Road, God revealed through a man named Ananias that God's purpose in Acts 9, that God's purpose for this man is to be a witness. That is a witness to all the nations, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. God revealed his purpose and the call that he had upon his life. I remember when Paul and the leaders of the church at Antioch, where Paul was at and Barnabas was serving, where they were teachers and they were gathered together and they were praying and they were fasting and they were seeking after God, and the Holy Spirit began to speak, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to set aside these two men, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do. And God, the Holy Spirit, called them out to be able to go on a missionary journey, the first missionary journey, and the believers gathered around and they prayed for them in Acts 13 and they sent them out on the first missionary journey to spread the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the Roman Empire. The reason why they went is not because they felt like it'd just be fun to go on a mission trip. The reason why they went, and the only reason why we should, is because God called them. They had the call of God upon them. Now listen, God is still calling. And the call of God is real. It's not something you have to make up or something you have to work up. Folks, when God called me to preach, it was not any less real than if God spoke to me audibly. And after having gone through several months of searching my heart and seeking after God, God got my attention one Easter Sunday. In the year 1980, on Easter Sunday, God worked in my heart in the Easter Sunday service in such a way, as a young man, a 15-year-old young man, God got my attention in my heart in such a way that by Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday, I was needing to talk to my pastor. I was broken in my soul and I didn't know why. And I went down and talked to my pastor and we talked for quite a while and we prayed together and then I left and I felt a little bit better. But I knew God was dealing with me about something. I didn't know what it was. And over the next few months, God dealt with me and dealt with me and dealt with me. If you'd have been in that little church in Illinois, if just about every service, every Sunday, you'd have seen me down on the altar of the church praying during the invitation time, crying out to God, asking God, Lord, I don't know what you're speaking to me about. I don't understand what it is, but whatever it is, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do and whatever you want me to do. And God just kept working on me and speaking to me and speaking to me. And I remember one Friday night, I went to my room and went to bed, to go to bed and in a little attic room. And up there in that attic room, I lay down on my bed and the Spirit of God filled that place where I was at. There wasn't any smoke and there wasn't any shaking, but I tell you, God shook me to the core that night. As a matter of fact, God so operated in my heart that all I could hear was one word. The Spirit of God filled my heart and filled that room. Just one word, and the word was preached, and there was just, that's all I could hear, and that's all I could hear and say, all right, Lord, I hear. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Being a 15-year-old shy boy, I didn't immediately want to tell anybody what God did up in that room. It took a little while. I was like a little bit like Jonah, not aggressively running from God, but just trying to avoid it a little bit. God narrowed me in. God moved in my heart, kept dealing with me. Kept speaking to me Sunday after Sunday and Sunday after Sunday. I was in the altar crying out to God and I began to pray, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me and what do you want me to do? And there was no voice from heaven. There was nothing said. I struggled and struggled and struggled and spiritually and emotionally. I thought, what is it, God? What is it you're dealing with me about? Listen, there was like a heavy load on my heart. God, what is it that you're trying to say to me? And I remember one day I was out there in the early spring and the strawberries were ripening, and I went out into the strawberry patch, my dad's strawberry patch, and I was picking strawberries, and I was saying, God, I can't figure it out. I don't know what it is. I just give up. I cannot figure it out. And I'll tell you, God took me back to that moment in my room some weeks before. It just revealed to me that that's all he was going to say to me. That was it. I said, all right, Lord. That Sunday night, we went to church, and one of the young men in our church, that is one who had surrendered to preach, was preaching that night. And ladies and gentlemen, he was preaching to me. I was broken all through the service, wept my heart out through the whole service. All I could do when the invitation was given is get in the altar and cry out to God. And I mean, I was broken before him. And my pastor got down there to pray with me, and I told him, I said, Brother Carl, God called me to preach. He said, I know. He never told me that. My pastor was a wise man. He never told me. He let God deal with me and let God deal with me and let God deal with me however long it's going to take. He said, I know. And I looked at him and I'll never forget. I said, I'm scared to death. He said, son, if you wasn't, I'd say you wasn't called. Now, all I knew to do as a 15-year-old boy was just to step out by faith and obey what God said. Listen, God wasn't going to let me get by until I did. So I stood up in front of the church and told him that God had called me to preach. When I was reading my Bible the next day, I was just reading through the Bible. The passage that came was 1 Corinthians 9. You can read it. God spoke to me again. I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And I'll preach whatever you tell me to preach. And anytime the door opens, I'll step through it. I thought at least it'd be a few weeks, but it wasn't. It was a few days. But a man came to the house and said, I heard you surrender to preach last Sunday. I said, yeah. And he said, well, he was a pastor of a church. And he said, I'm got some problems with my health, so I need you to come preach for me tomorrow. It's on a Saturday. My sister gave me her Bible so I could use her Bible. My dad drove me. And I went and preached. I'm just trying to get you to see. This man Isaiah, he heard a call of God. God's still calling. He still is. He not only heard the call of God, but he surrendered his life to God. He surrendered everything that day. Listen to what the Bible says. Verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I," like there's not even a hesitation. I mean, tell you, by the time God got done cleaning this man up, he said, "Here am I. Send me." And when he said that, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't just speaking vain words. He was surrendering his life to God. Like the apostles, who the Bible says forsook everything to follow him. That's what Isaiah did. He heard the call of God. He surrendered his life to God. And then he obeyed the commission of God. And that is, the Bible says in verse number 9 that he said, that is, God said to him, that is to Isaiah, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, and perceive, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert it, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate," the Bible says. "And the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." The Bible tells us here that after he said, "Lord, here am I, send me," God, "I'll go." God said, "Who's going to go? Who's going to be my spokesman? Who's going to be my prophet?" And he said, "Here am I, Lord, I'll go. Lord, send me." And so the Lord, the Bible tells us here that God commissioned him. And we see the responsibility in the commission. What's his responsibility? What is it that Isaiah is supposed to do? Go and tell. That's it. I want you to go, and as you go, I want you to tell. That is, I want you to speak. That is, those lips that I just purged, just cleaned up, I want you to use those lips to speak my truth. Go and tell. It reminds me of the commission, that responsibility that we have, who've also been commissioned as well. You might remember that the Lord used this same kind of terminology, and that is, he tells us in Matthew 28 that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. He tells us in Mark 16:15 that we're to go into all the world and preach or speak the gospel to every creature. That is, we're to go and tell. Now, when the Bible tells us to go and share with all creatures, that means that those that are around us immediately. I remember reading in Mark chapter number 5, and I love the way it's worded there. Listen to what the Bible says about this demon-possessed man that the Lord delivered, set him free. He was demon-possessed, and the Lord set him free. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that after he set him free, that the people of that country asked the Lord to leave. And so the Bible says in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed or begged him that he might be with him. This man that Jesus set free from demonic possession that had been destroying his life, Jesus gets on a boat getting ready to leave, go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he said, I want to go with you. You see, that's what people do when the Lord touches their life. They want to follow him wherever he is going. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him up. Jesus would not allow him to get in the boat and go with him. But here's what he said to him. He said, "I want you to go. But," he said, "where I want you to go is, I want you to go home. I want you to go home to your friends, and I want you to tell. Go and tell. Go home to your friends and tell them about the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you." And ladies and gentlemen, that's what he did. The Bible says he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. He went, just like this man Isaiah, go and tell. And listen now, you and I don't have to go far. If God calls you to be a missionary, then you need to go wherever God's calling you to be. But you don't have to go as a missionary. You can go home. Right where you're at. When I say go home, I mean right in the place where you're at, in the neighborhood where you're at, in the community where you and I live. We can go and tell. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, as it's been stated many times, the light that shines the farthest when it comes to reaching people with the gospel, the light that shines the farthest always shines the brightest at home. If missions doesn't begin at home, it's not real missions. If evangelism doesn't begin where we're at, it probably isn't real. It begins right where we are. And he just went and told everybody. You say, well, I'd like to go and tell, but I don't know where to go. Just go wherever you go and tell. Some of you got to go to work, tell. Some of you got to go to the store, then tell. Some of you need to go get some gas. Your car's running on empty. Go, but tell. God may be speaking to your heart about going to somebody's home for the purpose of telling. What we do on Monday nights, just purposely set aside time to go to somebody's house and talk to them about the things of God. God may be speaking to you about that. Go. That's the responsibility in this commission. The responsibility is to go and tell. Now listen, there's also going to be resistance against the commission. You and I just read it. He said, I want you to go and I want you to tell. But notice, let me remind you what he said is going to happen. He said, I want you to go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See indeed, that is, they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they're not perceiving. He said, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. In other words, he said, I want you to go, Isaiah, I want you to go and tell. But listen, God tells him, as you go and tell, here's what's going to happen. He tells him up front what's going to happen. And that is that these people's ears are going to grow heavy so that even while they can hear, they don't hear. Their eyes are going to be shut so that while they see, they don't perceive. Their heart is going to get fat. Now listen, you don't want to have a fat heart. The idea of a fat heart here, ladies and gentlemen, is a heart that is insensitive. It's the idea of a heart, ladies and gentlemen, that is fat in the sense of that it is full of the things of the world, focused on the things of the world, and is inattentive to the things of God. Their heart is not open. Their ears are not listening. Their eyes not seeing. Isaiah, you go and tell, but there's going to be a lot of resistance against you. And ladies and gentlemen, there really was. Do you know that these very verses that I read to you are quoted by our Lord in the New Testament? I won't take time to read it, but in Matthew 13, whenever Jesus was teaching in parables, he quoted these verses from Isaiah to explain to his disciples why he was teaching in parables. Do you know in John chapter number 12, Jesus confronted the Jews of his day with using these very words from Isaiah. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter number 12 and verse number 37. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. All these miracles that Jesus did, and they still wouldn't believe. They still continued to reject him. Listen to this, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Quoting from Isaiah 53. Therefore they could not believe. Because that Isaiah said again in Isaiah 6 that you and I just read. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. That they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and be converted and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. That is, when Isaiah saw the pre-incarnate Christ, the glory of the Christ, he said these things, the very passage that you and I are looking at. Listen, when an individual rejects God and rejects God and rejects God, turns away from the Word of God and turns away from the Word of God and turns away from the Word of God, their eyes become heavy. Their ears, they cannot hear. Before long, their heart begins to be hardened towards the things of God. You can get to the point. Listen, a person can get to the point that they cannot hear, that they cannot see, that they cannot perceive. The Word of God either works to soften the heart or harden the heart. The more a person hears and rejects, the harder their heart can become. That's what happened in Isaiah's day. Isaiah preached with power, but ladies and gentlemen, the people rejected what he said, revealing that their hearts were hardened Their ears were shut. Their eyes were closed. By the way, in Acts 28, at the end of the book of Acts, again, these verses are quoted as well. As Paul was preaching in that place where he was under house arrest, there are many who came to hear him. Some of them responded, but many of them would not accept what he had to say. And these verses are quoted once again about the hardening of the heart. So here's what I want you to see about the commission that Isaiah obeyed. We've seen the responsibility of the commission, his responsibility, go and tell. We've seen there's resistance against the commission, that while he's going to go and tell, listen, outside of a few people, most of them hardened their hearts and closed their ears. There's resistance against it. But I want you to see finally and in conclusion the reach of the commission. I love verse 11, don't you? Then said I, Isaiah said, Lord, how long? He said, I want you to go and tell, but they're going to close their ears and their eyes and harden their hearts. How long? And the Lord answered, and here's what he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Here's what God was saying. He said, Isaiah, here's how long I want you to do it. I want you to keep on preaching and telling all the way to the end of the nation. Until the end. Keep sharing the word of God. Listen, until the Babylonians invade and carry them away into captivity and destroy the land be desolate. I want you to speak the word of God and not stop. There's going to be a violent end to the nation of Judah. The nation is going to end in a violent way. And that's being described here. Isaiah knew it because he spoke about it at the end of chapter 5. Listen, the nation is going to end in a violent way. And here's what he's saying, Isaiah, you're going to be my prophet. I want you to speak the truth, and I want you to do it all the way to the very end. It reminds me of a commission that you and I have laid upon us as well. When Jesus said we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you. Paraphrasing, all the way to the end of the age. God's people speaking God's word. And we're not going to stop speaking the truth. Those who've been called like Isaiah. Now listen, there are a lot of people who haven't had the call of God on their life. They'll compromise when the pressure gets on. There are false prophets in Judah, just like there are in our day, who will not speak the truth if it's going to cost them. But those who have the call of God on their life, like Isaiah did, will speak the truth of God and will continue to do so under every circumstance all the way to the end and aren't going to stop. What I'm trying to get you to see is God shook this man up so that he could use him as his spokesperson, his prophet, all the way to the end. That's God's purpose for Isaiah. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for this man of God, for this experience. And I pray, Father, that you'd work your work in our hearts. I pray that those that, God, you're calling to serve you in specific ways, that they would hear your call, that they would step out by faith and obey you. Father, I pray for the young men in our church that you may be moving in their hearts to call into special ministry. They would listen to you. Some that may be called to missions, I pray, God, they'd hear your voice. God, others that are called, that you're calling to serve in various areas of ministry right here at Eastern Gate, God, you've been working in them, you've been preparing them, and God, that you're calling them, Father, so they can lead in ministry here. I pray that they'd hear your call and obey you. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for what you're saying to us. Thank you for this experience with Isaiah that you've allowed us to look into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.